Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Packed program today. As always, if you'd like to contact me, you may do so, info@redskyradio.net. info@redskyradio.net. A couple of good news items here. Just get them out of the way real fast. I want to thank the listeners yet again. I think we're in our third or fourth week in a row where the listening audience has grown substantially. And maybe it's because people are stuck in their apartments, their homes. They got the shelter in place. Things, they aren't going to work. They're searching the internet. You know what? I thank all the listeners that are tuning into this program. Last week, it was another record. We went north of 300,000 listeners to Red Sky Radio. I praise God for that. And I thank the supporters of this program. They are few, but they are important. God knows who you are, obviously, and I just pray a blessing on each person who supports this ministry financially and who prays for it and prays for my protection. That I really, really appreciate, because I will go to the edge, and that's what I hear sometimes is, gosh, we're concerned more about your protection than anything else. And I don't feel scared at all the least bit, but that's only because I have people like you praying for me that have taken that concern away from me. Well, let's get rolling here, because we got a lot to cover today. This is just amazing. You know that passage in at the back of Genesis where Joseph says, you know, what you intended for evil, God intended to use for good. He's talking about his brothers who threw him into the pit. And then he was sold to the Midianites, or the Ishmaelites, then to the Midianites, then to the Egyptians. And, you know, he's in prison and so forth. You know the story of Joseph. It's a great story. We covered it in great detail on Real Men Radio. Actually, I should make this point. Our companion radio program to this, Real Men Radio, that's out this week, just is being released at the same time. You can go to darkskyradio.com, darkskyradio.com. Toward the upper right corner of that website is Red Sky Radio, and you click on that, and you will get the podcast both for this program and for Real Men Radio. You will want to hear that program. I think it's very timely. But what the enemy intends for evil, God will use for good over and over and over again. I have seen this, gosh, countless times in the course of the Trump administration. I don't know how many times I have raised this verse. This has got to be at least the 10th time, minimum, that I have raised this particular verse as it relates to all the attempts by the left to sink Trump. And what they do is that they end up being turned around and used for good. They don't get it because the devil doesn't get it. They're driven by the dark side. The left are the godless. The left are the God-haters. The left are the bibliophobes and the Christophobes. But Trump's ratings, this is my point, keep going up with this virus thing. He's on the TV all the time. He likes, you know, he doesn't have any problem being on TV. The network news, meaning the mainstream media that hates him. Everybody, in fact, there's a survey recently out here just 2 days ago. I saw it in John Nolte's column, said that Trump's ratings are up everywhere except with the media. The media has tried so hard to bury him. You know, even to the point that there was, it's a little bit only, well, historical now, that there was a $5 million PAC formed 2 weeks ago with one distinct purpose: to take Trump down by way of continuously blasting people with what he's doing supposedly wrong with the coronavirus. That's his sole purpose, a PAC formed just to take the guy down in the course of a of an international tragedy, catastrophe, if you will. Maybe it's not the catastrophe we think. I'm not going to get into those details today, but nonetheless, that's his sole purpose. What kind of people would use catastrophe to take out somebody who's doing their best they possibly can to deal with a catastrophe? I'll tell you, evil people, spelled D-E-M-O-C-R-A-T. I will tell you, they are. There is a reason I've called them Democrat in the past. They're animated by the left. But the evening news, they're ticked off because they said, we are inadvertently, by covering all of Trump's press conferences, we are inadvertently making the president look competent, because they have to just use a few sound bites because of time limitation. And Donald is composed. He chewed that one reporter out. That didn't bother me. My only complaint with Trump is he hasn't chewed more reporters out. Losers like Jim Acosta and goodness sakes. Well, anyway, they're ticked. They're ticked because they cannot not follow the coronavirus situation, which they have helped make more of a tragedy. I'm not saying it isn't a very serious matter. Is it catastrophic? Not yet. It certainly isn't. Not compared to the flu or pneumonia. It still isn't there. But it's serious. I'm not going to take away from that. But in an effort to such things as having a $5 million super PAC just to take him down by showing what all that he's done wrong and bringing undue attention to President Trump's activities, which he's doing his best, they've actually increased his ratings all across the board. And I think it's fabulous. You remember Bill Maher? About a couple years ago, he came out and he said he wanted a recession just for the purpose of taking down Donald Trump. He welcomed a recession. And he was, and others came and said, look, just destroy the economy if that's what it takes to get Trump out. Do you hear what the Democrats are saying? They're saying, look, we don't care what we do to people's pocketbooks. We don't care how we mess with their standard of living. We don't care how short they are on basic necessities and the staples of life. We don't care that they don't have the means to provide for their children, their husbands, or their wives, whatever the case may be. We just want Trump so out so badly, we'll wreck the economy and just work over the people of the United States economically as hard as necessary to get them out. This is Bill Maher, the left of the left. This gives you an insight at the depth of the depravity. Now, I've said that the coronavirus and the attention the media has given to this is nothing more than impeachment 5.0, but it's backfiring. The Donald owns the network news lately. People don't even know how to spell Biden. You remember that guy who's running for president, who all the press is, you know, his name is B-I-D-E-N, if you have forgotten. Just, you know, how to spell it. Where is that guy? Of course, they keep him in a closet because he can't speak without his brains falling out, his teeth falling out, everything falling out. He talks about all the basic things you should do to not spread the coronavirus, like not touch your face. And then in a 5-minute speech, he touches his face and his nose, his lips and everything about, what was that one time? 23 times he touched some part of his face while talking about what not to do. The guy is a loser, but they're keeping him locked up because every time he talks, it's a disaster from one gaffe to another. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But who's even heard of him? This is supposed to be the time that Biden is advanced and they take down Trump with the coronavirus. And now, every time Trump comes on, he looks yet more composed, more self. The self-control is just amazing. This is what it is. Every time he talks, he looks more and more presidential. And as the left attempts to shoot him in the back, they end up shooting their own foot off. And I'm thrilled that the left is getting some of their own. Well, you know, there are trying times, and in a lot of ways, this does affect everybody, whether it should or not, it does. I mean, I'm going to talk about the stimulus later and why it's a bad idea, and it's not because I'm not getting anything, because I'm not. But that's not why I'm against it. I'm against it for, I would, if I were handsomely paid, it wouldn't have mattered. I'll be against it no matter what. But Gary from Southern California writes in, and I hear from Gary from time to time. He has some interesting insight on things, and he was just, wrote me to tell me how he just finally, he'd had it the other day. He finally lost it. I'll just read you his email. That's easier. So Rob, he said, well, I finally lost it. I was in Albertsons. And for those of you who are not on the West Coast, Albertsons is a grocery store. He said, I saw a man whose cart was full to the brim with hand sanitizers, baby wipes, soaps, everything that people need. I called him a selfish a-hole. I won't go any further than that on the program. I gave him a lowdown about the elderly, the moms, the people who need these types of things. I told him he should be ashamed of himself. And then he said to me, are you done? Because I really need to get back to restocking the shelves now. Well, there is, what amazes me is notwithstanding all that's going on, there is a certain resilience that God has put in the human spirit. He really has. He's put it in our DNA. And there is a whole realm of comedy, if you will, not to make light of it, but it is levity, which is a lightness, because we can't bear up under continuous bad news without finding somehow, some way to laugh. We need that. God knows that we need that. And he gives people different ideas, I guess, and what to say here and there, and to brighten person's spirit. And it isn't always spiritual things. Some things are just sort of comical, as I just read from Gary. Well, of course, now the epicenter is New York City, which is five times worse in the coronavirus than anywhere else. Does it relate to New York City's deep depth of depravity, the sins that defines New York City more than most other cities? Most cities are bad. They really are. Cities that are run for by Democrats who issue orders to not do this, not do that, can't buy guns, can't sell guns, what have you, because they've seized their opportunity to take control, which they've been salivating over ever since they made a pact with the devil. Look at New York State. They just before this broke loose, and I bring this up because it did happen just before this broke loose. This was 2 weeks ago, at a time which doesn't sound like that long ago, but in the life of the coronavirus, that's quite a while ago. New York State decided to change its policy and allow minors, without parental consent, to change their sex on birth certificates. Now, I want to tell you that the coronavirus is a plague, and about 80% of the plagues in Scripture, about 80% of the plagues are distinctly related to sin. Isn't any question about it? Now, you might say, well, I don't believe the Bible. That's, you know, you don't have to believe that the earth is round. You can be a flat earth society guy if you want. I don't care about that. And if you don't believe the Bible, you're the loser. You need to believe God's word, the best-selling book of all time. The fact of the matter is, plagues have always been on the face of the earth, and they have not always been decidedly related to sin. So I'm not going to say that is the case here. It's a good chance it could be, but it's I can't say that. But what I can say is that there is hardly a more sinful city than New York. You know, Las Vegas is actually less sinful. They talk the city of sin. Nah, you know what? New York City is. Now, New York City, I want to also tell you there's hope for you guys. And I mention this because New York City has not shown up anywhere on the Red Sky Radio radar ever since we have been broadcasting. In the last 2 weeks, New York City has been in the top five metro areas listening to Red Sky Radio. Chicago, which never shows up, has been showing up. Italy is in the last 3 weeks is now in the top five countries of listeners to Red Sky Radio. I'm not here to beat you guys up. I'm here to tell you guys why it may be worse there than elsewhere. And this is a warning. This is a warning that sin has its consequences. You can cry out to God all you want, and there are times that God will answer that cry. There are times that he does not. Do you know there are four times in Scripture where God does not answer prayer? Even in Jeremiah, he said, look, you know, you can howl all you want, but don't intercede for these people. They've pushed it too far. Now, will he intercede for the individual who comes to God in sincerity and truth? Yes. And when we get to the end of the program, we're going to find out how you stop a plague. Yeah, that's right. How do you stop a plague? But before we get to that, there's another threat that has arisen that, in my opinion, is far, far worse. And this always happens, that when there is something that is going on big in the news, the enemy who has a number of plans, who thinks he's off the radar and at times is off the radar, will be working to slip through something else demonic in our world. And this is it. And it's a threat that deals with our internet. And that is a government bill planned. I mean, this is sponsored. This is sad. It's sponsored by Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican, Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut. And if this bill passes, it will be the end of internet security. All your messages will be subject to being read by the government. I want to quote here from this article coming out here dealing but from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, called known the EFF. It says, quote, this bill is an all-out assault on encryption. It would create a 19-person commission that's completely controlled by the Attorney General and law enforcement agencies. And at the hearing, a vice president of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, called NCMEC for short, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, made it clear what he wants the best practices to be. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children believes online services should be made open to the government to screen their messages for material that the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children considers abusive, and to use screening technology approved by NCMEC and law enforcement, report what they find in the messages, and be held legally responsible for the content of messages sent by others. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, well, you know what? Before I do that, I got to finish this one part. It says, not only will groups have the majority of votes on the commission, but the bill will give Attorney General Barr the power to veto or approve the list of best practices and how far they go in breaking open encrypted messages. EFF says, once a scanning precedent is set, authoritarian regimes around the world rejoice as they have the ability to add their own types of mandatory screening, not just for child sex abuse material, but for self-expression that those governments want to express. So my point here is The enemy will work off the radar when something else bigger is going on, and this is what they're doing. And the fact of the matter is there are so many bad things that have happened, and this leads into my next piece, during a Republican administration. Now, I'm a Republican. Actually, I'm to the right of the Republicans. I don't know what that would be, but I'm to the right. I kind of want to be where I think Jesus would be, and I think he wouldn't be Democrat or Republican. I think he'd be to the right of both parties. He would be. And actually, I could prove it, but that's going to have to be on another program. They will use, do you want to stop child sex abuse? Well, of course you do. Do you think we should be able to screen the message of people that might be? Oh, of course we do. Well, you've just opened the door for the government to have access to screen anything and everything that you might send. You see, they're using an emergency environment to break open an area that has been foreclosed to them, which we all want to see child abuse and child trafficking end, yes? But the cure is worse than the disease. Now, I want to show you why some of the worst things that we have had done in this country have occurred under Republican administrations. Why that's the case. Now, you say, well, I trust Attorney General Barr to do the right thing at the DOJ. Well, yeah, I do too, but what happens when he's gone and we got some Democrat loser, sorry for the redundancy, that's now president, and they appoint some left-wing yin-yang who simply uses that as a pretext to screen all sorts of messages. You see, George Washington made it very clear. The reason we have the Constitution is to bind people in chains so that the sinfulness of man cannot or has its greatest difficulty in making itself known in government and in civil in politics and in our civil administration of our laws, to bind man down with the chains of the Constitution. You see, our founding fathers knew that no law was better than the person implementing the law. That's why it makes a difference who's president, who's attorney general. But we have a tendency to pass these things when good people in charge, forgetting entirely that good people at some point will be replaced with bad people, and we will pay a severe price for our stupidity in breaking open a law and setting bad precedent, albeit for a good cause. Now, follow my thinking here as to why Republican administrations have done the most damage recently to our national security. Now, I will still vote Republican. I'm just showing you an example. Why? 9/11. Let me just go back to 9/11. I can tell you exactly where I was. I can put myself within 2 square feet of where I was in the den of my home in California, listening to President Bush announce the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. I turned to my wife and I wept. God showed me in the spirit, can't snap my fingers very well on the air, that fast, that this department, though seemingly intended for good, and everybody wants to stop terrorism and crush the Islamists and all of that stuff, all of which sounds good, but I knew in a heartbeat, a nanosecond, it would be used against us. Now, the Democrats never decry an expansion of government intrusion, invasion, and power. And the Republicans, this is what happens. The Republicans don't oppose it because it is a Republican that proposed it. They don't oppose their own. When their own want to expand the power of government. I wept. Within 30 seconds, I was weeping because I knew it would be used against us. And what? In no time at all, Barack Hussein Obama came along. And what did he start to use the DHS for? to spy on Americans. You remember the memos that came out that talked about the right wing, the radical right wing, and soldiers coming back from Vietnam and from the Middle East and everything. They're prone to be to want to own guns. The DHS was turned on its head to beat up American conservatives because you had a monster in the White House. You had the evil personified and manifested in Barack Hussein Obama. And this is what I'm talking about. Well-intentioned laws that are widely received by the Democrats, who know that when they get in power, they can abuse it because they love the expansion of government. But it's not opposed by the Republicans because it was a Republican that proposed it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, loser. I knew Schwarzenegger was I knew he was a rhino, a Republican in name only. Some of the worst legislation that California has ever had was passed at the urgency of Arnold Schwarzenegger, particularly as it relates to all items related to the Second Amendment. The Democrats loved him because they hate guns for one reason, because it will prevent them from a leftist takeover of the country. You see, I got to come back to that later on. And the Republicans did oppose him because it was a Republican that proposed it. Now we get to Donald Trump. I love Trump. You know that. But I've also said very early on, way back when he was elected, before he was sworn in, he was going to get some things right by accident, and he was going to get some things wrong by accident. I think he's well-intentioned. I'm thrilled that there were 700 people praying for him the other day, which the media didn't cover, because he needs it and the wisdom and the guidance. But he's setting a pattern of government involvement here that I think goes a little too far. It seems like the Democratic governors have said, hey, you know what, we got Trump doing this and Trump doing that. Let's close all the gun shops, which they've done in certain locales. Let's take over hotels, which Gavin Newsom did in California. Let's stop evictions all over the place. They just seize the power. It's not carpe diem, seize the day. It's seize the power. And this happens because the Democrats are thrilled when government power expands. You see, when the Democrats are in office and they propose these great expansions of power, remember Hillary and government, national health care and all of that, it's easy to spot their attempts to expand government power. You know, it wasn't, you remember the movie, The Exorcist. You know, it isn't hard to spot the devil when Linda Blair's head is spinning around and she's spewing out a green vomit. Remember that scene? I mean, it's horrible. It's gross. You know, say, oh, that looks like the devil. Yeah, the devil's easy to spot when the head's spinning around and green vomit is coming out the mouth. But when the person is sane and just sitting there, you know, it's a little harder to pick up on the seemingly sane, harder to pick up on the Democrat, the devil's activity. That's what happens. When the Democrats are in power, it's easy to identify the devil in their midst. But when something well-intentioned by Republicans expands government power, never to be returned to the people, the Democrats are licking their chops. That's why I like Rand Paul. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio. So much to cover.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
18 wheels and a dozen roses, 10 more miles on his 4-day run, a few more songs from the all-night radio, then he'll spend the rest of his life with the one that he loves.
Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. We are back. I want to give you a quote from Noah Webster, which I think will be instructive. Because when these things happen, there is always a huge governmental response. And government just grows and grows and grows. And eventually you got so many federal workers, they all vote Democrat because they got Democrats running the country or Congress that promises and pay raises and everything. We end up becoming slaves to so-called public servants. I'm not saying nothing should have been done with this situation, but the extent to which people are using it to react, whether it's the stopping all gun sales when we don't have any looting, we don't have any shooting, we don't have anything. It's just the excuse. Noah Webster said, many a bad idea has originated from the belief that something must be done. Many a bad idea has originated from the belief that something must be done. And we have that natural tendency to just go out and say, well, we got to do something. I don't care what we do. Let's just do something. That is stupid. That honestly is really stupid. If you don't know what to do, you don't do anything until you have a certain plan. But just to react, I mean, let me just consider this. Here's the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court. Chief Justice said, we got to do more. The court is going to get involved now in helping with a homeless crisis that's exposed to the coronavirus. Well, wait a second. This is the Chief Justice, Tani Cantil Sakaya. I don't even know how to pronounce her last name, who contended one time she was a Republican. She doesn't know the difference between the Constitution and a comic book. And she couldn't give a rat's rear end about the Constitution because she sees grief and trying times as an opportunity for what? The court to start setting policy. She said, we have more that we need to do as a court to deal with the homeless. No, you don't, Tani. Just somebody tan your hide. Get back with your robe on and just shut up. You're not there to set policy. But she thinks so. She says, quote, we, the courts, have become the centers for social justice. Shut up, woman. This is the seizing of power at any opportunity that they can when there is a crisis. You don't think the courts have already seized enough power? I'm the biggest one to say there's times to just tell the court to go stick it. And I'm a lawyer and I'm licensed in California. I don't care if somebody reports me to her. I'd be happy to make this speech before the disbarment committee in Sacramento. This is just bothersome to me that they shoot their mouth off about how they should yet have more and more power because they're jealous little wannabe legislators who couldn't get elected. Well, some of them get elected, but then after they get elected, you can't unelect them. Take Michigan's attorney general, another Democrat. This has got a Democrat governor in Michigan. It's my home state. So what does she do? All right, Michigan has this confused, screwed-up shelter-in-place policy. Says, no, but you can go out and walk your dog and so forth. Look, I'm not a big dog fan. I don't hate them. I didn't grow up with them. My dad always said, let's get a dog. My mother always said, let's have another kid. So we ended up with a lot of kids, but no dogs. I just don't have a particular, I'm not particularly drawn to them nor offended by them, but I'll tell you, I'm ready to get one so that I can just take my dog walking anywhere I want to go because my dog is my ticket to freedom. And God bless the state of Arizona hasn't done that. And I was telling people in Michigan yesterday, they were asking me, well, how are you getting along now that you can't go anywhere? Well, I said, there's no place I can't go. We can go anywhere. And I can go there with a loaded 357 Magnum on my right hip because we have a freedom in this state. And they're just stunned. And they need to be even more stunned because why? Because the Democrat Attorney General has issued a request, not an order, because she can't order this, a request for people to tattle on their neighbors that they think might be violating the stay-at-home order. Does 1938 Germany ring a bell here? These are Democrats that are doing this. Now, I am going to give a small little shout out to one Democrat. You know, I got my T-shirt that says, generally speaking, Democrats suck. Here's the reason I got generally speaking on there. Every now and then I get nicely surprised. One of them, the Democrat governor of the state of Illinois, J.D. Pritzker, and putting the shelter in place order in place, but making an exception for essential services, identified the purchase of guns and ammo as an essential service. I want to commend you, Democrat Governor Pritzker, for breaking from your pack of loonies that dictate your party policy. Thank you for doing that. And you are one of the exceptions to my T-shirt. But you see, this concerns me. What could, you know, I'm more concerned about neighbors tattling on other neighbors than I am the coronavirus. And you should be too. I mean, this is just something that how quickly we have changed, how quickly we have yielded, how quickly we have surrendered. People are just saying, oh, the government says that I got to do it. Well, look, if the government says you can only have one child, are you going to obey that? Are you, if the government says you turn over your guns, are you going to obey that? But we got all sorts of churches and things that are just closing. And why? Because, well, the government said to do so. Do you not weigh what the government says as to whether it in fact conflicts what God has said? Bob from Las Vegas wrote me this last week, and he said, you know, I got to get his quote. I actually wrote it out here. Thank you for sending this in, Bob. He said, who needs communist dictators to ban worship when we have church leaders to do that? I'm not going to fault the pastors here. I can't do that totally. I don't know their individual situations. There is that church where in Texas where the pastor and his wife were infected and 30 people got infected. But you know what? If the government says no, yes, you have to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You must do that. Well, look, this seems to be on the surface a legitimate reason for doing so, although, as I said before, Jesus never practiced social distancing. No, he practiced social proximity. He got close to the sinners, the diseased, touched the lepers, the Gentiles, the Samarians, I'm sorry, ate and drank with the people, the Samaritans, I'm sorry. Gosh, all of a sudden the words escape me. Ate with and drank with the people that were the untouchables. He practiced social proximity. I think the next time I see a homeless person, I am moved. I'm going to get out, shake his hand, give him a $5 bill who's sitting on the corner. Look, I'm not out to tempt God, but this fear is driving me crazy. If we are fearful at this level, like I said before, how many Christians are going to take the mark of the beast to buy toilet paper? Look, I'm not, I don't shake people's hands because I'm not shaking people's hands because I'm afraid of the coronavirus. I'm not shaking people's hands because I'm afraid they might be out of toilet paper. That's a greater concern to me. Okay, why don't support the stimulus? I got seven reasons, but I got to fly through these because I'm running out of time and I got to get to how do we stop a plague. I don't support the stimulus, and it's not because I'm not getting one. I have no, I've got relatives. I got a child who's going to get a lot of make, doesn't make much money, hard worker, five kids. You know, what is it? About $5,000 he's going to get. You know, I'm glad for him. I'm glad for others, but it's still a bad idea because it's a horrible, number one, it's a horrible precedent. There's nothing more that Democrats love than to have a Republican administration come in and bail out everybody, everybody other than the ones that they've decided are not deserving because 2 years ago they made too much money. Doesn't matter what they made in 2019. Doesn't matter what they made in 2017. We're going to be arbitrary and set a precedent here that based on one particular snapshot of income, we're going to decide who are the winners and who are the losers. Democrats love this Republican response because they're behaving like Democrats. It's the government's job to take care of everybody. Now, the dangerous precedent, I'm going to tell you what this is a precedent for. What's the next national disaster? Let's suppose it's a Democrat administration because they will come around. You can never get rid of vermin. They just come around periodically, and they multiply like vermin. Look, next national disaster, if they're in charge, I can tell you what it is. Climate change. There will be various reports about how this has just gone to a degree where we have to take emergency measures. Now I want to ask pastors listening to this, if you can't drive your car to church because it adds to global warming, are you going to abide by that government dictate? Are you? When are you going to say, and people say, well, it says in Romans 13:1, we are owed to obey the government. Come on, that's a cop-out. I am hearing too much of that, way too much of that, as simply a smokescreen and a cover because I'm scared witless here about this thing, and I don't dare to do this, even though the fact of the matter is this is not time for the church to draw back. This is a time for the church to enter in. How many missionaries, thousands of them, have gone to places where there are plagues and diseases to help the people? They practice what Jesus practiced, social proximity, not social distancing. Do you believe God can keep you from getting the coronavirus? You should be able to believe that. Because he can. Number two, the national debt was almost unsustainable before this. Now we're over our heads. We'll be buried in national debt. And who gets to pay the national debt back? All those who didn't get the stimulus to begin with. You see, the national government now, number three, will be called upon in the future to help sustain everybody's standard of living. We've just got closer to a living wage. We just got closer to the big brother state that the government needs to provide for everybody and manage their expectations. And why? Because we did it back during the coronavirus thing. Number four, people say, well, we're to give to the poor. You know what? We aren't giving to the poor. Scripture doesn't say for the government to confiscate people's assets to give to the poor. God loves a cheerful giver. And people say, well, the government is doing what it can because the churches aren't. No, it's the other way around. Churches have given up doing what they're supposed to because the government has taken over. Nancy Pelosi and her yin-yang, incoherent, half-drunk, stupid speech talking about why there needs to be an increase in the unemployment benefits, and the unemployed who are getting unemployment benefits are the ones who are losing out on the stimulus. No, they aren't, Nancy and Nimrod. The fact of the matter is the unemployed are not hurt by the coronavirus. They're still getting their same benefits. They haven't lost anything. So why do you add to people who aren't doing jack when they could have been doing jack? These are people who are unemployed coming right up to through the most prosperous times we've had in recent history. They're still collecting unemployment. And we're supposed to add to that? I don't think so. It says in Scripture, they said, let the person who doesn't eat, I'm sorry, the person who doesn't work, let him not think he should eat. You don't feed him. Well, look, am I trying to say, all right, the 3.2 million new jobless claims shouldn't be responded to? No, I am not saying that. That's our law. They get their unemployment benefits because that's the way our law is. I'm saying for Nancy Pelosi to say that the jobless, the ones who have been on unemployment, need a raise is stupid. The fact of the matter is those are the ones who are not impacted by this because they've been on the government dole for some time. It's easy to be generous with other people's money, right? Yeah. Number five, it's unbiblical. This is unbiblical. I'm going to give you some quick passages here about showing favoritism to the poor, or the ones that the government defines as being poor, or the ones who at least weren't severing from the stimulus, those who weren't at least having the appearance of being poor at a particular snapshot in time being 2018. It says, Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the poorest person of the poor. Now, it also goes on to say, you don't give undue respect to the rich. There's many verses that says you don't show any favorability or any partisanship to the rich or the poor. But Deuteronomy 1:17 says, no, show no partiality in judging. Deuteronomy 16:19, the same thing. Exodus 23:3, do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. You see, God is no respecter of persons. That's clear, right? We all agree to that. It says that in James. So why are we a respecter of persons? Why would we or should we respect the rich more than the poor? That's a shame. That's unbiblical. But so is respecting the poor more than the rich simply because we're their poor. No, you don't pervert and subvert the law like the Chief Justice wants to do in California to take the law in her hands to deal with social justice issues. No, you don't do that because you've become a respecter of a person to say that the poor deserve something where others don't. No, look, the rich may oppress the poor at times, and that's a blight against the rich. But that doesn't give the poor the standing to say, look, because I'm poor, then you owe some portion of what you have to me. And you can keep paying for it. You know what it's sort of like? Let's suppose you had a group of 10 people. And every Friday night they ate out at a restaurant. And there's one person at the head of that table that pays for all 10, that man and the other nine. The other nine never pay for a doggone thing. And then after a while, after eating there every month for a number of years, the proprietor of the restaurant comes around and says to the man at the head of the table who's paid for him, he said, you know, you've been such a good customer. I want to reward you. And this meal, I thank you for the $100 that you gave to pay for this meal, but I'm going to give you the $100 back as a thank you. And then the other nine start complaining and whining because they didn't participate in the rebate. It all went to the rich man. We didn't get a doggone thing. Forget that. They didn't pay anything to begin with. You get the point? Okay. I got to move on here because I'm running out of time. There are two other things I had. The Democrats want to cover illegals and increase welfare. I guess I did cover that. That was number six. And this is the biggest giant leap towards socialism in the history of this country, or at least the history since the Great Depression and Roosevelt's administration. We just took a giant leap, and I'm sad to say there's no going back. Well, anyway, how do you stop a plague? Plagues in the Bible. I told you that, you know, look at the 10 plagues that were levied against Egypt. Keep in mind, go back and read that in Exodus, because you will see that at the beginning of the fourth plague, God made a difference between his people and the Egyptians. There were the plague, the intimation here, implication is that the first plagues of the lice and the frogs and the water turning to blood somehow impacted also the Israelites, the Hebrews who were living in Goshen. But the beginning of the fourth plague, God says, from this point, I will make a difference between the Egyptians and the Hebrews. And he did. And from the fourth plague on, the plagues did not hit God's people. They did not. Take that as a take. Can God separate his children from the other children and what happens? Yes, absolutely he can. The next point I want to make about this, though, is that, well, I said earlier that 80% of the plagues in Scripture seem to relate to sin. We see no real national repentance. Now, I have no doubt that there are going to be a number of people that will get saved as a result of this. And it very much differs from 9/11 in that 9/11 was a one-shot deal. It was over before it started. And the shock hung around, but we weren't in a continuous threat as with the coronavirus. And some people are going to come to Jesus as a result of this. And praise God that their mortality is now in sight. But I want to share with you here out of Numbers 25. And Numbers 25, this is an interesting passage. I love this passage, actually, because the way that it was dealt with, I don't know if I have time to read it, but it said that Israel abode in a place called Shittim, where they became, that's right, it's called Shittim, began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to the Moabite gods. Israel joined himself to Baal, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. The Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, hang them before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle. So let me just mention. So you got this one Hebrew guy who does not get the email that there is this judgment going on. And it's called a plague here. So there's more than just the killing of the violators. There's a plague involved. He doesn't get the email, and he trots his trophy Midianite wife into the congregation of Israel while they're weeping because of the plague that's going on. And when Phinehas, love this guy, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron's grandson, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, he took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stopped from the children of Israel. You see, the plague was stopped because a man of God did the unthinkable. Now, in today's world, if somebody did the unthinkable, the media would excoriate that individual. Just if the media existed back then, they would say, well, this Phinehas, he's involved in vigilante justice. He's taken the law in his own hands. But what does God bless Phinehas and multiple generations? With a covenant of peace. That's right. Phinehas and ensuing generations of his were awarded a covenant of peace because he did the hard thing. And it stopped the plague. He did something to deal with the gross sin that had enveloped Israel at the time. How does this relate? Well, there's two things. Number one, first and foremost, if you have the blood of Jesus over the doorposts of your heart, the angel of death in the 10th plague never touched the Hebrews. You see, plagues 4 through 9, God separated them. But at the 10th plague, he said, there's something else you got to do if you want to be separated from the plague that's affecting the Egyptians. You put over the doorposts of your heart the blood of Jesus. I'm not talking about Chick-fil-A sauce here. I'm talking the blood of Jesus that will keep the angel of death from reaching your household. And now how about the man of God? How about the Phineas? Where does that plague stopping? Number one, the plague doesn't reach you with the blood of Jesus on your heart and claim it. If God separated the Hebrews through the blood of Jesus from the judgment of the plague, he will separate you. You got to put it over the doorposts of your household and your heart. But how else? While Texas and Ohio have just said that's the end of elective abortion. Now, there may be other states that are doing this, but God bless the Texan Governor Abbott and the Ohio governor who are rising up like a Phineas, running the javelin through the abortion industry by saying no elective abortions. You go whine, Planned Parenthood is suing. They're all suing. How can you do this? How could it possibly be an emergency essential service to kill your unborn children? The Phineases have risen up in Texas and Ohio. Texas and Ohio will be blessed for doing something to slow the plague in their states. God bless you all. Remember, sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.